You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News, and today was supposed to be our weekly show, me and Adam breaking down the center's outlook for free agency for the Pacers, our weekly series that we've been doing position by position for free agency. But Adam is traveling home from his trip back to Indy, actually, so we cannot record. He takes so many more trips than me. I'm so jealous, and he's always traveling on Sundays. So I have to do a solo show. Me and him will be talking centers tomorrow. We covered all the coaching hire stuff last week. We had Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors come break down Nate Bjorkgren's time in Toronto. Me and Adam broke down the hire and his introductory press conference. So go check out all those shows if you're looking to learn more about the Indiana Pacers new coach. But today, there's some new news in the NBA front that could impact the Pacers I want to talk about, relating to the start date of the next season and kind of the salary cap as well, kind of how that all came out. And then because it's a newsier day and I need to break down some segments, I'm going to do some season recaps. I'm going to do the two-way contract guys, but they didn't play enough to get a whole show. Those are the only two guys that won't get their whole show for a season recap. So we'll do a segment on Brian Bowen and a segment on Naz Mitrulong. But let's start with the big news from the NBA that's totally going to be important for the Pacers is that the NBA is pushing their start date way up, right? So me and Adam have talked about on the show a few times how, you know, the thought was that they might push it back to try to get fans in the stadium. Well, it looks like the league has had this realization that that is just out of the realm of possibility next year, which makes a lot of sense. It doesn't seem like there'll be any vaccine or rapid enough testing at that level for COVID that they could have fans and in a big enough capacity next year, given the stadium sizes of the NBA compared to the NFL, for example, who has a big enough capacity to have more people. But anyway, sounds like the NBA is realizing that that's not really an option. So what they're going to do, it looks like, is push the season start date up to Christmas time of this year or like just before Christmas. I think Woj and Shams both said December 22nd. So that is less than 2 months from now. The Pacers could be retaking the floor. And there, you know, if there's preseason or anything like that, like we could be seeing the Pacers in like 45 days or something crazy. So that's really soon. That makes a lot of sense to me. So all the factors I had heard that were in play for next year, right, they obviously want to recoup all the money they can, so playing as much of a season as possible, experimenting with, but also kind of staying on the old NBA calendar at the same time, if that makes sense. Like, starting on Christmas always made sense for the point of, like, the NBA is a lot of more casual viewers consider Christmas Day like the start of the season, so kind of experimenting with how that timing works out with ratings and numbers and things like that, but really the NBA cares about their cycle of calendar. And the other thing is the Olympics, right? The Olympics are in July next year. They got pushed back a year. And Team USA, you know, they're if they needed to, they can roll out guys who aren't in the NBA. But other countries, you know, they'd like to have their stars for all that kind of stuff. So getting the season done before then. So starting it then really meets all those goals. It allows them to reset their calendar and all those things. But man, oh man, is that a quick turnaround for this offseason, right? To logistically plan. So they still haven't even set the salary cap. Which Connor Latorno of, I don't remember, he covers the words, San Francisco Chronicle, reporting the salary cap could drop, he's heard 3 to 12 million. But anyway, that number could be decided as early as this week. The 30th is the deadline for that kind of stuff. But setting the salary cap, planning the entire schedule with stadiums, figuring out any safety and testing protocols for all that stuff, and then they still have to do the draft and free agency, right? So I haven't even gotten to the Pacers specifically, and really for them it's not particularly unique compared to most other teams, but you know, I'll get to them. That's a really quick turn for all that stuff. And for teams that played in the playoffs, their offseason is shorter than normal, right? So this is where the Pacers are looped in a little bit, and they're not even as, it's not even as tough for them as some of their teams, but you know, they finished play late August. So they have September off, October off, and November off, and then probably in December minicamp would start. They had 3 months off. Normally, they have June off, July off, August off, and September off. So they lose a whole month plus about a half a month of, you know, whatever they get off in April or May or whatever. So it's way shorter of an offseason, first of all. Not a huge deal. It's still a long time off, but it's just shorter than normal. Two, if you're like the Lakers or the Heat, your offseason's like 2 months now, which is crazy. But the hard part, and this applies to every team but also the Pacers, is free agency is going to come after the draft. The draft is mid to late November. I think it's the 18th. Don't quote me on that. I should know that. But free agencies after that, so these guys who are getting signed by the teams, including the Pacers, will have almost no time to really acclimate to their team and get, you know, get into shape and all that before the season starts. So that's really tough for every team. And honestly, this, when I get back to the Pacers here, this is kind of an advantage for them because they have a lot of roster continuity heading into next season, right? They're gonna have, well, and I mean, trades are on the table for them, but they're already over the cap. They don't, unless Justin Holiday walks, they don't really have a ton of open minutes in their rotation. In fact, if Jeremy Lamb comes back, they'll have like too many people for their rotation. So free agents don't need to get acclimated to the playbook as fast with the Pacers because it's unlikely or less likely they'll be getting significant minutes. So that almost gives them an advantage over other teams where, you know, they're filling big holes or a big departure or something like that. You know, if the deck chairs get swapped and all these other contenders, the Pacers could have a nice advantage out of the gate because of that roster continuity that they have. And they won't have a first-round pick they're trying to integrate as well. So those two things stacked on, well, they could, you know what I mean? Right, given the info we have now, they don't have a first-round pick. But stacking those things on top of each other, right, this new push-forward date kind of helps the Pacers in terms of, you know, early. This is really early season stuff, but, like, you know, as teams fly out the gates, if they're really ready, they've all clicked from last season, they're ready to go, that could be really good. But I do worry with an already injury-prone sort of roster. You know, Warren's had injury troubles in the past. Sabonis is coming off a big foot injury. Turner misses a few games every year. Brogdon, obviously. Depot, the big injury. That's the whole starting five. Plus Lamb's coming off a big injury, right? They have a lot of injury-prone kind of guys. This shorter offseason could really have a negative impact on them. So I get why the league's doing it. It truly makes a lot of sense for the health of the NBA to, and the Olympics is free marketing for them too. So they really are trying to push. Okay, they play 72 games. It sounds like it would kind of be like a weird kind of in-market schedule. So like the Pacers would play the Cavs like a few times in a row at home or something like that. I don't really get it. It hasn't come out yet, so I'm not supposed to get it. But an altered 72-game schedule starting around Christmas time benefits the Pacers roster-wise. That would be helpful, but it hurts them injury-wise. And it really hurts all these playoff teams a little bit more than, you know, just because their offseason's shorter. But overall, it's good for the league to figure that out ahead of time and not be waiting for forever for something that, like a vaccine or quick testing that could just never come, right? It could just be they're waiting for something that doesn't actually happen for them. So that's all the news that we have at this point. The governor's meeting was on Friday, and the deadline for the league and the Players Association to decide if they want to extend negotiations on the CBA or decide to continue to use the same one is the 30th. It's in just 4 days. It's later this week. So we could find out, you know, if they decide to extend it or if they decide they'll have 45 days to make any changes if they decide not to. But we'll figure that out come Friday. And if they decide not to extend it, right, then the draft can't happen in November. So that's the really big hurdle. But if they keep the CBA on that date, that means they've finished negotiations, and all this stuff will be off and running. And it'll be time it might be time for the season to start in December. So we could really, I mean, we might be less than 2 months from Pacers basketball, which is crazy to think about. But that's all I can really break down on the news. It's kind of impossible to go too much in on that reporting without the solid concrete details that, again, will probably come out after the 30th. So as it relates to the Pacers, kind of interesting dynamics there. But let's talk about actual basketball games that did happen. Although with these two-way guys, not a ton of them. I haven't really decided who I'm going to start with, but I think I'll do Naz Mitrulong first. So stick around. We're going to review the season of Naz Mitrulong, who saved the Pacers' butts in Brooklyn one game. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar, because Built Bar is making the best-tasting protein bar ever. They are 100% covered in chocolate protein bars that are soft and easy to chew, and they have 18 flavors. And what I liked about them, the ones I tried, is the texture of them all matched the flavor, right? So the peanut butter one was chewier, whereas the coconut one was a little crunchier. They were all honestly super delicious, and they're really healthy, and they're great for the health conscious guy, right? You can lose or maintain weight, you can gain weight if you're working out on them. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're really, really delicious. I highly recommend them. You can go to builtbar.com, builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order. I highly recommend you try them. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. So not many people care about the two-way guys, man. These guys deserve love for their impact on the Pacers season. Both of them really had one shining performance that was memorable, and a bunch of other in-between moments that were also very important to the team and potentially these guys' future. And the interesting thing about both guys, actually, I'll kind of talk about that. They're both entering free agency again. So let's start with Nazmi Trulung. If you'll remember, his big game was in Brooklyn. So he debuted against the Thunder. The Pacers just destroyed them by 26 early in the season. But then, like, the very next game in Houston, Brogdon got hurt. And then at that point, Brogdon was hurt and McConnell was hurt at the same time. And Oladipo was still out at this point in the season, right? So the Pacers' guard rotation was, like, Aaron Holiday and Jeremy Lamb. And that was basically it. So they had two straight games where Nazmi Trulung was heavily in the rotation. They played the Bucks and they played the Nets. They weren't supposed to beat the Bucks either way. He played 15 minutes, played fine. And then they played the Nets, and Naz played 25 minutes. We played over half of this game. He had 12 points and 3 assists. He looked really good, rotation-level quality guy. And that game stands out to me. I don't want to say that Nazmi Trulung is like an end-of-rotation-level guard. I don't think we have that kind of information about him at all, necessarily, at this point in his career. But he showed some okay stuff with the Jazz prior to the Pacers. You know, he got in 14 games for them in 2018-19, which doesn't sound like much for an end-of-bench guy. It's a solid amount. Like Alize Johnson, it gets in about as often. And I think most people would say that they think, you know, in the right situation, Alize Johnson could be at the end of a team's rotation. So, yeah, Nazmi Trulung is just an interesting guy. His G League stats are ridiculous every year. So it's kind of hard to review his season for me. So he only played in 3 games for the Pacers, right? Like I just rattled off his entire campaign for the team because after playing in that Nets game, huge win for the team, huge performance from Naz. A lot of features came out about him. And he showed before I really get into why he didn't play, he showed what he can do. And that, you know, he's a really good offensive player at the G League level. In the NBA, he can do some of the scoring and passing, and he kind of understands, you know, the manipulation of defense, but not a good off-ball player, not a good defender, and doesn't do any of the offensive stuff at a high enough level for me to think he belongs in a rotation, but he's good. You know, he's right on that fringe line between G League and NBA, but what really killed him is right after that he got injured and barely played for much of the rest of the season. He never got back in for the Pacers after those 3 games. So he got he played in the bubble, excuse me. he had such a long gap between games and then just 2 minutes at the end of the 2 slaughters in the bubble, but didn't, you know, do anything with those minutes. But yeah, he missed so much time. He had some injuries, and then he actually got Bell's palsy, which he ate an apple, he says, when he was with the Pacers, and he said, like, while he was eating it, it was this is all from the Journal Gazette up in Fort Wayne, but apparently when he was eating this apple, he could, like, tell it was hurting his face or, like not feeling right, and then he gets Bell's palsy, and, like, part of his face is screwed up, so he had to play with goggles in the G League for a little bit. So his stats are not really indicative of how good he's been in the past, right? Like, in his 2 seasons with the Salt Lake Stars, over 18 points per game both years. With the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, just 13, but his assists were up in Fort Wayne at about 6 a game. So, again, as a G League guy, he's really quite good as an offensive initiator and setup man, and he showed that with Fort Wayne again this year. He was one of their drivers on that end of the floor. He just went through so much between... First of all, this is another thing that happened with him and Bowen. Because the Pacers had so many injuries early in the season, they were traveling up and down and up and down and up and down between the two teams, and that's so exhausting. I would talk to them in the locker rooms late in games, and they told a story where both of them rode in an Uber from Fort Wayne to Indy at like 3 in the morning after a G League game to play in a Pacers game the next day, and they were sleeping in the back together, which was funny. But... you know, it's that kind of stuff that just has such a toll on your season, and they're not playing in games. They're just traveling to be like an able body and stuff. So harder to get a read on their season, honestly. They're supposed to be injury insurance kind of guys, but there were so many injuries that it got like to the point of chaos for them. And unfortunately, Naz himself was one of those injuries. So he's in a tough spot going forward. He enters free agency after only playing in 5 games and having a kind of down G League year. It's kind of tough to envision that he gets an NBA deal ever again. He got a 10-day and I think a minimum for the end of the season for the Jazz 2 years ago. He only played in 1 game that year. And, you know, so 2 small deals, a 2-way for the Jazz and then a 2-way for the Pacers. So the way 2-way contracts work is if you have 3 years of service or less, you're eligible, right? So he is still technically eligible for a 2-way deal if any team wants to bring him back on that. And that kind of, like I just said, because he's on that fence of G League level and pro level. Those deals kind of make sense for him, and him being still eligible is nice. He only played in one game for the Jazz 2 years ago. I bet he hates that now, because if that didn't happen, he would have two more years of 2A eligibility. But so he could still get a 2A one more time, which could be good for him to get one more chance. And I he's done good stuff for Team Canada too, in very limited opportunities. But still, like, I think he has shown enough. You know, in that one game with the Pacers, one really good game with the Pacers, and some couple decent, you know, end of the rotation, like garbage time performances. And in the past in the G League, not so much this year, that maybe a team will throw a two-way at him. But I kind of feel like Nazmi Trelong's career is just now Europe or G League level. I just don't think he's shown quite enough in his career. And the high-level stuff that makes you think, oh, maybe there's a rotation guy in there that I said earlier, they just don't happen enough, and they have to happen more often if he wants to ever be that rotation-level guy. He's pushing 27 now, I believe. He's over 27. Yeah, that's right, in August. So it sounds like, based on all that, I would just imagine that, you know, Nazmi Trelong's probably not going to get another NBA contract. I guess 2A is possible for him, but I sort of doubt it. I don't really see it. Despite all the good stuff he did, it's going to be tough at his age to snag another NBA deal, but we'll see. The Pacers got him on a 2A this year, and he helped them win him a game. And honestly, for a 2A guy, that's all you need. You know what Brian Bowen, their other 2A guy, did? He helped win him a game. So let's take a little break and review the season of our other 2A contract guy and see what it looks like for him going forward as well. Brian Bowen, one of the rookies this year, one of the two rookies, him and Goga, also got a 2-way contract. So he actually had quite a bit of hype coming into the season as a rookie, right? Because he was a McDonald's All-American, right? He was one of the better high school players just 2 seasons ago. Just 2 years ago, and then had some recruiting scandal stuff at Louisville. Ended up not being eligible to transfer at South Carolina. So he had to play in Australia, and that's like actual pros. And he just wasn't quite ready for that level. Didn't get drafted. That's the perfect 2A guy for me. You throw the flyer at him, right? This guy dominated for his age group not that long ago. Tough situation. Let's see if we can get him in the right situation in the NBA and make him a player who can help us win basketball games at some point. Unfortunately, Brian Bowen never really took off to the point of doing that. So, again, like Naz, I want to highlight the one performance that was awesome. And the reason, you know, he won them a game on this 2A. So right before COVID hits hard in the NBA, not before it hit. It was obviously a thing for a long time. Right before it hits hard, it's March 6th, and McDermott's out and Warren's out. And this is when Lamb's already been hurt for the whole season. So they do not have anyone on the wing. So it was the last day, because 2A contract players have 45 days of eligibility. So it was the last day Brian Bowen is eligible to even be on the Pacers roster. He starts with TJ McConnell, right? So this makeshift starting five starts against the Bulls in Chicago and plays great defense. The Pacers outscore the Bulls by 3 with him on the floor for 15 minutes. Grabs 4 boards. Doesn't hit any of his shots, but really didn't force it. And they win the game. And 0 points, why am I talking about this as a big performance? Well, this is what I said after the game was like, I would understand, and 4 shots, I guess, is a lot in 15 minutes, but I would understand for him, who's never proven himself in the NBA yet and is really trying to get a spot, to get this start, I can imagine him just coming in and just chucking, right? 6 shots and forcing some stuff out of rhythm of the plays and stuff. And all 4 of his shots were like, that was a good shot. You know, you should take that. So he didn't force it. He really played great defense. They won with a lot of guys out, and they outscored the Bulls with him on the floor. And that was a stand-up performance for him to, you know, that was huge for him to, on the last day of his 2A, to help the Pacers win a game. And then he ends up being able to play in the bubble because the rules change, scores late. The last bucket of the Pacers season, actually, in that win over the Heat to clinch the 4 seed. And he got in a few times throughout the season, but they were all garbage time. I don't think he ever eclipsed 5 minutes of play outside of that start in Chicago. So the thing about Brian Bowen is it's hard to really know what he is. Like, with the Sydney Kings, he didn't actually play that much, and it was kind of a lot of the same of what I've described, right? You see this stuff against the Bulls where he gets his big minutes, but he doesn't show off any of his scoring. But when he gets his very few minutes in garbage time, he does score. It's like, who can he be? So let's go to the G League. You know, he plays there a lot as a two-way guy, and he's a great scorer. 16 points a game, moderate volume from three, hit 34%, shot 44% from the field, great free throws, 16 points and 8 rebounds, right? So he was kind of like this forward who can crash the glass and kind of run a little bit. Wasn't a great passer, but able to score and looked like he was one of the better players on the floor. And he's 21 years old, right? So to be that good in the G League at that age is impressive. And that makes me think that maybe there's some potential in there. Now, his NBA profile, not very good in his six appearances, but he did show some good stuff in the G League that makes me wonder, just because of his age, and this is a fool's errand to keep looking at a high schooler, but being the one of the best 15 guys in his age group just 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago, whatever. I mean, time is so weird now. but he's only 22, right? So maybe I would actually consider. So he, like Naz, finishes his two-way, is heading into free agency. I would actually consider giving him another two-way contract if I'm the Pacers, because he's only 22. He's shown that if you need him to start a game, he's not going to actively tank you. I mean, Naz is the same way. Naz already played NBA games, though. Bowen had not before this year. He's not going to actively tank you and hurt you. He's good for your G League team because he's a good scorer. Never heard a bad thing about the guy. Clearly wants to be in the league. Like, why not take a flyer on him, see if he can maybe be a stud in your G League system, or, you know, can show you something a little bit more on that two-way next year, just because there's a little bit of promise there, and maybe you're leaning a little too far into potential. But what else are you going to do with the two-way? You know, maybe use the other one on your depth vet. They've done that every time, right? One of their two-ways is Ben Moore, who they're taking a swing on. The other one's Alex Poitras, who they kind of want to play if there's injuries. Or the next year, I honestly can't even remember all their two-way guys. But they've done a good job using those to their advantage every step of the way. I kind of think that Sumner got one when he was injured. You know, that was their potential play before Poitras as well. So I would actually think Boeing getting one would be fine to me. That would be a good use of a two-way deal to me. But I understand if Bowen himself wants to try to find a situation where he might be able to play a little more, given all the stuff I just said, right? He's only 22. He's probably looking for that NBA opportunity. He might be receptive to Europe just so he can go be one of the better players. Well, I don't know if he'd be one of the better players in Europe, but you know, he could go to Europe and show how good he can be, try to get that NBA deal, maybe China, something like that. I don't know. He has a lot of options at his age, and he's pretty clearly talented. 16 points in the G League doesn't just happen, but it hasn't translated to the NBA yet. So if I'm the Pacers, I would consider offering him a two-way, and if I'm him, I'd probably take it. But I understand if he is searching for a bigger opportunity. But I thought his season was very interesting, and I kind of buy that kind of flyer for a two-way anyway. So we'll see what happens next with him. But, you know, those two guys, not a lot of material to really review because they're the two-way guys. They played a combined 11 games for the Pacers. So, again, it's impossible to really review a ton of their season. But they both were key in one win and did nice stuff for the Mad Ants and were just all-around good dudes, right? They didn't take the camaraderie of the team or anything like that. They didn't do enough to get their own episode, so they get a segment in this show. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to them. But every other player played 17 or more games. Alize played 17. Everyone else played more. So they'll all get their own show for a player season recap. But I hope you enjoyed me rambling about G Leaguers, one of my favorite things to do. And, of course, the NBA's calendar shift forward means that we could have a very short offseason here on Locked On Pacers. Might just roll right into the season with many episodes. So thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Adam will be back tomorrow. We'll talk about centers in free agency, which could be a shorter one, but we'll see how it goes. And maybe we actually, a former player might be joining us on the show later this week, so stick around for that. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you very, very soon.